Good morning and welcome to worship at St. Luke's as we gather this day. It's a beautiful day and a day that is a gift to us as our all, and we thank God for that. A few things to announce. One is that annual reports are available to the congregation. Our annual meeting will be held 2 weeks from today on the 31st following the worship service beginning at 10 a.m. And so the reports can be picked up tomorrow. I will be in the office in the forenoon, and Jean will be here in the afternoon, so you can come by and pick them up tomorrow if you would like. Wednesday is youth group, and a couple of special things about this week. This week is the week of prayer for Christian unity, and in fact, we're going to have a Zoom meeting of representatives of St. Luke's and Union Congregational and St. Luke's Episcopal early afternoon, just to talk about ways that we might cooperate in ministry in Buffalo. And also tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a day to focus on justice and overcoming prejudice in our own lives and in our community and in our world. We begin our worship service with confession and forgiveness, as it is printed in the bulletin. Oh, and by the way, this being a service of Holy Communion, as are all of our Sunday services, you are invited to have elements prepared and at that point in the liturgy to receive the sacrament, to share it in your homes with us today. We begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the aid of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that attentive to your word we may confess our sins, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Sing the first and second verses of Here I Am, Lord. I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in darkness sin, my hand will save. I will make the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead. I will hold your people in my heart. Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them, they turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord for mercy. For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord for mercy. For the peace of the whole world, the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord for mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord for mercy. Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches, wisdom and strength, and honor and blessing and glory are His. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of all of creation. Sing honor, glory, and might be to God and the Lamb forever. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia. The Lamb who was slain has begun His reign. Alleluia. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, You showed your glory and led many to faith by the works of your Son. As he brought gladness and healing to his people, grant us these same gifts, and lead us also to perfect faith in him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from the third chapter of 1 Samuel. At a time when visions are rare and unexpected, the Lord comes to Samuel and calls him to speak the divine word. Though just a boy, Samuel responds to God obediently, as Eli the priest has taught him to respond. This marks the beginning of Samuel's prophetic ministry. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord said, or called, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." For now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We'll read Psalm 139 responsively. "Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You trace my journeys and my resting places, and are acquainted with all my ways.
Indeed, there is not a word on my lips, but you, O Lord, know it altogether.
You press upon me behind and before, and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it.
For you yourself created my innermost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I will thank you because I am marvelously made. Your works are wonderful, and I know it well.
My body was not hidden from you while I was being made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes beheld my limbs, yet unfinished in the womb, all of them were written in your book. They were fashioned day by day, when as yet there was none of them.
How deep I find your thoughts, O God! How great is the sum of them!
If I were to count them, they would be more in number than the sand. To count them all, my lifespan would need to be like yours. The second reading is from the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians. Paul helps the Corinthians understand that God has claimed the entirety of their lives through the death of Christ. Hence, Christian relationships and conduct, including areas of human sexuality, are to reflect the reality that we belong to Christ and that the Holy Spirit lives within us. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I said that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This season is called Epiphany, which is a kind of revelation. And there have been a whole lot of revelations we've noticed already in the Gospel by this time. Jesus was revealed to the shepherds and to the wise men, and to old Simeon and Anna in the temple, and to Philip in the previous gospel reading. So now there's more opportunity for people to recognize who Jesus is. The purpose is to make that revelation known to us, and with that to call us to response, to be involved in God's purposes. In God's purposes. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't care about yours, about your life and your desires, but it does mean that we are to find our meaning, our purpose, the center of life in serving God and neighbor, in being useful, I guess we could say, rather than being comfortable. Being ready to follow may mean that our life gets sort of jarred off the course that we might have on it. It can be an interruption. So today, the first reading, that reading from the book of Samuel. Samuel is a young boy living with Eli the priest because his mother Hannah perceived that he was a special gift from God, and she had promised that if she had a son, she would give him to the Lord, which meant to take him there to be nurtured and mentored, I guess we could say, by Eli. And so it had happened, but Samuel's just starting to learn. He's still just a boy. Seems to know very little of God. Answers the voice that comes to him in the night because he thinks it's Eli calling. And then finally Eli tells him what to say. And when he says, if you go on beyond what we heard in the reading today, it's a painful message. Because what God says to him is a word of judgment on Eli and Eli's family because his sons have been behaving so dreadfully. It's a message Samuel doesn't want to hear. It's one he doesn't want to deliver to Eli. But Eli says, "Tell me." And he does. And so what God wants done is not always what we would want done or what we necessarily want to hear. It's a lesson repeated throughout the Bible. Over and over again, people have their lives kind of set off course. Abraham and Sarah were asked suddenly to leave home. leave their familiar setting and travel to a faraway country that God would show them. Remember Moses, barely escaped with his life from Egypt, got out of there, finally kind of settled down into the life of a shepherd, and then God called from that burning bush incident, asked him to go back to Egypt to lead the Israelites out of slavery. And even though he protested, God insisted, and he did it. And so it goes. The prophets, Amos and Jeremiah and others, found that serving God put them at odds with their own people. They were resented, hated, persecuted because of that. And even Jesus, you will remember, prayed from in the Garden of Gethsemane that if possible he might avoid the cross. So as we come to today's gospel, and this is going to take a little bit of, I guess you'd call it Bible study, because Nathanael seems to be taking life easy, cracking a few jokes, showing no sign that he was really looking for anything. But Jesus found Philip, and now Philip finds Nathanael, and he says, "We found the Messiah, the one that Moses and the prophets were telling us about." And Nathanael says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip delivers what I guess we would have to call the best evangelism speech ever. "Come and see. Come and see." Now, this is where we have to talk about this text, because it gets weird. Jesus sees Nathanael coming, and before Nathanael has said a word, Jesus says, "Here indeed is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And when Nathanael says, "How do you know?" Jesus says, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." And Nathanael, did you notice that response? Nathanael says, "You are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Because you saw him under a fig tree? Is that the deal? What does this all mean? How does the line about Jesus seeing him under a fig tree produce that kind of statement of faith?" So I think we ought to get suspicious. Reading the Bible a point like that, we ought to get suspicious. Now, if someone said they saw you walking into the store, and if you had been going into the store, you would not have been surprised at that, huh? That kind of thing happens. So if Nathanael was sitting under a fig tree and Jesus saw him there, no big deal. But what if he was not sitting under a fig tree? Then maybe Jesus was quoting the prophet Micah. Because Micah says that in the time of Messiah, there will be peace and abundance. And he says this, where everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree. Is that what Jesus is, what this gospel is referring to? Is Jesus telling Nathanael, using that passage to tell Nathanael, that the Messianic age is here? In a way of saying that he is the Messiah, and Nathanael gets it. And there's another strange thing in this passage, where Jesus says, "You will see greater things than these. You will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Now that takes us back to the Old Testament too, and to a story that I'm pretty sure you know. Sometimes those old Sunday school songs are worth remembering, right? Even when they get it wrong. Because we probably all, at some point in our life, wound up with a group singing, "We are climbing Jacob's ladder, we are climbing Jacob's ladder." Well, when Jacob was a young man, he tricked his father, he cheated his brother, and he had to get out of Dodge. He simply had to escape. He ran away. And when night came, he was exhausted, and he lay down to sleep with a flat rock for a pillow. Now that doesn't sound like something I'd like to do, but okay. And in his dreams, what did he see? He saw heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending. Jacob's ladder. Nobody ever really climbed Jacob's ladder. The only thing that happened is these angels were ascending and descending on that ladder. And after the dream, Jacob said, "This indeed is the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." In other words, Jacob regarded that place as the contact point between heaven and earth, between God and this world. So when Jesus tells Nathanael that he will see heaven open and the angel of God ascending and descending not upon a flat rock, but upon the Son of Man, he is saying that he is now the connecting point between heaven and earth, between God and humanity. Jesus is where we receive forgiveness. Jesus is where we learn the reality of God. Jesus is where our life can get refocused. In the case of Samuel, God's voice came with judgment and promise. A hard word and a message of judgment for the family of Eli the priest, but a promise, a new beginning for Samuel, because now Samuel becomes the leading prophet in Israel. In the case of Nathanael, Jesus brought a promise that the presence and the purposes of God would become clear to Nathanael through all that Nathanael would see as he followed Jesus. I suppose you've heard this before, that almost all of the original disciples lost their lives for the sake of the gospel. We are told that only John is the one who lived and died a natural death in old age. There are some real costs, or there can be some real costs in this world. God does not always focus on us, on serving us and our comfort or our success, but sometimes God asks for our faith and our service when it is very uncomfortable. Years ago, I heard this, I think it was a sermon illustration way back then, between two Christians, and one said, "When I got to know Jesus, all my problems were solved." And the other one said, "When I got to know Jesus, all my problems started." That is, his life was challenged, his life was changed by Jesus. The second lesson makes that clear today. Here, writing to the Corinthians, Paul says that they've got a problem. Earlier, he had assured them of their freedom in Christ. Christ means you are free from all those checkpoints, all those little boxes to check off in terms of the law, of the law that had been given by Moses. And now they quote it back to him, "All things are lawful for us." It would be better to say all things are permitted, but anyway. But they had missed Paul's emphasis. Paul's emphasis was you are free to serve the neighbor. The emphasis on love for neighbor. Paul says in a couple of places, love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Love that keeps one from doing harm. Freedom to be helpful and useful. God claims all of us. That was made clear in that meeting as well. Should be clear to us. God claims our mind, our heart, our time, our wallet, our relationships, and yes, our body. Freedom from the law does not mean less responsiveness to God, but ought to mean more. God's desire is to mend the broken creation, to rejoin it, reclaim it, join all things together in Christ. That was why Samuel was called. That was why Philip found Nathanael, had that conversation. Jesus had that conversation with him. That's why Paul has to correct that misunderstanding of the Corinthians. That is why God called you, claimed you in baptism, and connected you to the church. And that is why your life can get interrupted sometimes by requests to help and invitations to serve here at St. Luke's, and in Buffalo, and in the world. Day by day, we know that our lives are renewed in the love and the grace of God. But also day by day, we are challenged. Ask if we are ready to follow. I think it was John Lennon who said something like, "Life is what happens when you're busy doing other things." We can say that whatever you're doing, whenever you are busy, the call can come again. Christ calling you out of old ways and old ruts with that persistent question to us, are you ready to follow? Prompted by the Spirit, may we ever be ready to say yes. Amen.
will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be so? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Will you leave yourself behind if I but call your name? Will you care for cruel and kind and never be the same? Will you risk the hostile stare should your life attack or scare? Will you let me answer prayer in you and you in me? Summons echoes through when you God call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go.
We join in confession of our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Guided by Christ made known to the nations, let us offer our prayers for the Church, the world, and all people in need. For the body of Christ gathered throughout the world, and for all servants of the gospel, that following Jesus, the Church lives out its calling every day. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For the well-being of creation, for plants and animals, and for all that God has marvelously made, that we serve as wise stewards of earth, our home. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For police officers and firefighters, for attorneys and paralegals, for peacekeepers and military personnel, and for the leaders of governments, that they provide protection to all people, especially the most vulnerable. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For those lacking food or shelter, for those who are sick or grieving, and for those who are imprisoned or homebound, we remember especially today Jill, Pastor Larry and Sue, and others known and named in our hearts before you. That God console all who suffer, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
O God, that your holy and life-giving Spirit would move every human heart, that the barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions disappear, and hatreds cease, and that with our divisions healed we might live in justice and peace, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For the astonishing variety of races and cultures in this world, enrich our lives by ever-widening circles of fellowship, and show us your presence in those who differ most from us, until our knowledge of your love is made perfect in our love for all your children. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue working through the members of our joint call committee. We pray that the Spirit would be with Mark and Sarah as they seek candidates for our ministry in Buffalo. We pray that the Spirit will move in the hearts of potential candidates as well. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
In thanksgiving for the saints who have gone before us, that our lives give us a vision of the gospel in action. Let us pray.
Have mercy on us.
Merciful God, hear the prayers of your people, spoken or silent, for the sake of the one who dwells among us, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
We share God's peace with those present and with all who are with us in worship today. Again, we are grateful for the faithfulness shown in your stewardship as we serve this community, this congregation, and the world. This time of offering is a time that we remember the gifts we have been given and remember this response that we have made. And on behalf of the congregation, I say that we are grateful for your faithfulness. We continue with the song, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful.
Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord, and fill our cup of blessing. Gather a harvest from the seeds that are sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and dreams of all, unite them with the prayers we offer. Grace our table with your presence and give us a foretaste of the feast to come.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made, for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pause for a moment to prepare the table for the sacrament.
Your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. The right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. In sharing our life, he lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to his own brilliant light. And so with the church and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit, that by this holy communion we may know the unity we share with all your people in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Come and see that the Lord is good. Body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Everyone, what God has done. those who seek the Lord, rejoice and bear Christ's holy name. Send of God with your promises, and report in joy with shouts of thanksgiving. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let us pray. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Now and forevermore.